In the 60th chapter, we're going to read this and then I'm going to let you be seated. In the 60th chapter of Isaiah, first verse, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." Verse 2, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." You may be seated. I want to highly encourage you to go back over, take the time. Don't tell me you don't have time, because I know you got time. If you just simply cut off some of the reality shows, cut off some of your favorite TV shows, you have time. I want you to take the time to go over camp meeting again.
Yes, sir.
If you have not started already. We were introduced to another realm. We were introduced to another place in God. And here's what I love about the apostolic. We were introduced. Not just the fivefold, not just what we like to call God's special people or somebody who's super spiritual, but we were introduced to another realm. Everybody in here, from the person who got born again 2 seconds ago, to the person who's been born again for multiple years, can access this realm called the glory. We discovered, by the way, Apostle's just resting. He's good. That's for y'all. He's resting. He's good. You got to realize, a week before he preached, and then he came back that Sunday. Yeah, so he's resting. So he's good. He's probably watching right now, but he's good. All right. So we were introduced to another realm, and we discovered that we were being held back because of a certain model of the church, the pastoral model. We were being held back from reaching our full potential. From each one of us reaching our full potential. There's some places that you have gone and have stopped because you weren't aware there was another place for you to go. We found out that there is a pattern that God has designed for us to operate in. It's not a set pattern, but is a pattern. If you allow me to say it this way, it is a rhythm. It is a lifestyle. It is a way that we as believers ought to be living. And so Apostle introduced us to, we start off in faith, then we progress to the anointing, and then we end up in the glory. But because of the self-centric nature of the pastoral model of the church, we've been looking at the anointing as only to solve our issues. So if we stop there, and we haven't gone into the glory of God. Now, I read Isaiah for a reason. Because in Isaiah 60, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come, and the what?"
Glory.
It didn't say the faith. It didn't say the faith of the Lord. It said the
glory.
All right, watch. Verse 2. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his faith." and his glory, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do is going to be displayed on you. But if you don't know to go there, are you seeing this? So I want to show you this pattern. Now, the reason why it's not a set pattern is because God moves differently. God is not going to have you do the same thing all the time. God's not going to use the same pathway all the time. God told Moses, he told Moses the first time, I want you to strike the rock. And when he struck the rock, the glory of God showed up. Water started coming out, right? That's glory. Let me define what glory. Glory is the power of God showing up. His presence. That's his manifested presence. Because God is omnipresent. But when the glory rises up on thee, it simply means is that what's on the inside of you is now coming to the outside of you. God told Moses the first time to strike the rock. Water come out. The second time, God didn't tell him strike the rock. He told him to speak to the rock.
Yes.
Do you see? There's a pattern, but it's not a set pattern.
Right.
The pattern is you ought to start off in faith. Allow the anointing to do what it's designed to do. What the anointing is designed to do. The anointing is designed to remove every burden and every yoke out of your life that will cause you not to complete what God is asking you to do. Because without you being able to complete what God is asking you to do, it does not give him permission to manifest. See, your obedience to the voice of God gives him permission to manifest in the natural. It gives him permission to manifest in the natural. You see, Jesus performed over 30 plus miracles in the Gospels. You see that pattern. You see where faith had to show up first. Then the anointing showed up. The anointing showed up to remove every burden, every yoke. Jesus spit in the clay, spit in the dirt, made clay. Told the man, go, blind man, put it on the blind man's eye and told him, go wash. Now you need an anointing. You need every burden moved out of you, moved out of you, with every yoke destroyed, so he can get from Jesus to the pool.
Yes.
When he did that, the glory showed up.
Right.
When he washed, he began to see.
Yes.
This pattern is throughout the whole Bible.
Yeah.
And watch this. The reason why we need to go back and listen to camp meeting, because Dr. Montrell, Dr. Robinson, Dr. Forbes, they all begin to talk about blockers.
Yes.
See, Satan's, the only game that Satan plays is distraction.
Yes. Come on.
What's the purpose of a lie? The purpose of a lie is to distract you from the truth. That's all he did to Adam and Eve was distract them from the truth.
Right.
So Satan's only job is to use issues and different challenges in our lives to distract us from getting to the glory.
Yeah.
Or let me say it like this. Getting us distracted so the glory cannot manifest from the inside of us to the outside. Are you seeing this? So the glory, we see that the glory that the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be all that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do shall be seen upon you. Turn me to Psalms, the 23rd chapter of Psalms. I'm going to show you the pattern again. Because I need you to see this pattern. I'm going to show you in the Old Testament the pattern. And I'm going to show you in the New Testament the pattern. Because the pattern is the pattern. Don't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. The only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is easier for us in the New Testament. It's easier for us to follow the pattern in the New Testament. Because Christ is now living on the inside. outside of us. Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. Very familiar psalm. Most times we hear this psalm is at a funeral. But this is not a funeral psalm. This is a very alive psalm. It's a very alive psalm. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now watch this. Here's where the first part, the first phase, if you allow me to say, of the pattern, faith comes in. Watch what he says. "He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Here is God giving instructions. In order for him to make you lie down somewhere, he got to give you instructions. In order for him to lead you somewhere, you got to be following instructions. You got to know his voice. In order for him to restore your soul, that means you got to be spending time. You got to be meditating for him to restore your mind. Yes. Yea, though I walk, that's your part. Yea, though I walk, I'm doing something. I'm doing what God is asking me to do. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Here's verse 5, the A part. The anointing shows up. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Now, what are your enemies there for? To stop you. To stop you from walking through the valley. To stop you from your soul being restored. To stop you from God leading you. That's what your enemies are for. But God said, "This is how powerful you are. I'm going to set a table where they can see what we're doing. They can see what we're doing." He said, "I'm going to set a table in the presence of your enemies." Now watch this. Now, mighty strange that the psalmist would then say, "Thou what? Anointest my head." That's a representation of the anointing. God prepares a table in the presence of your enemies, and then the anointing shows up. The anointing shows up to take care of the enemies. But you're not supposed to stop there. See, thank you, Holy Spirit. Most of us stop when our enemies are taken care of. Your enemies are taken care of so you can make advancement. So you can take territory. So you can go further into the supernatural. Immediately after he sets sets a table in the presence of your enemies. He anoints your head with oil. Remove every burden and destroy every yoke. Your enemies are now null and void. The first thing happens is your cup run it over. Your cup run it over. Everything you need to get what God wants you done, it starts to show up and starts to fall into place. See, this pattern has been designed and set in place since God said, "Let there be light." But the enemy has been trying to block us from seeing this pattern. Some of us get stuck on faith. Some of us get happy when we get a little breakthrough. But don't realize that God, all that God is, all that God has, and all that God wants to be to you, is he wants to show up in your life daily. So watch this. He says, "My cup runneth over." You see that? Now watch what it says in verse 6. "Surely," this is the glory of God, "surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's the glory showing up And as the glory shows up, that means God's presence is manifested, so nothing else can be brought to your life that can stop you from doing anything. But we have to move from faith to the anointing to the glory. How many see that? Now, it's a pattern. I got to keep saying this. It's a pattern because we're going somewhere. It's a pattern, but it is not a set pattern. You will always discover the pattern based on how you spend time with Him. If you don't spend time with God, you can know the pattern exists, but you can't discover it. How many see this? Go with me to Romans 8th chapter. I showed you the pattern in the Old Testament. I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to show you the pattern in the New Testament. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'm going to read this first. Then I'm going to show you the pattern in the New Testament. Are you with me? Romans, the 8th chapter and the 18th verse. The Apostle Paul is talking right to the Romans and expressing himself. And he says, for I reckon, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the
glory
which shall be revealed in us. Now, verse 18 is telling you where you're going to start, but where you and where you're going to finish.
Yes.
You may start off in some situations that's uncomfortable to you.
Yes.
You may start off in some situations that you didn't ask for.
Yes.
You may start off in some situations that you don't know what to do in. But watch what the Apostle Paul says. He says, for I reckon that the sufferings, notice he didn't say struggles. He says sufferings. Now, for those who don't know, let me explain the difference between suffering and struggling. They can be similar, but the outcome is different. Struggling is when you're in a situation and you don't know your way out.
Right.
Suffering is when you're in a situation and you're enduring it because you see your way out. See, that's the difference. See, if somebody throw you in the water and you don't know how to swim, you're going to struggle. But if somebody throw you in the water and you know how to swim, then you're just going to have sufferings. You're able to endure your circumstances until you get to stroking. And then you're going to start moving water and getting somewhere. But as compared to the person who is thrown in who don't know how to swim, they're going to struggle. They're going to fight the water. They don't know how to get it together. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
So the Apostle Paul here is saying, watch this. The Apostle Paul is saying, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, where you may be right now, the situation you may be in right now, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. All that God is, all that God has, and all that God can do, we shall be what?
Revealed.
Revealed. That's an important word, revealed. Look at verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The earth is waiting to see the glory upon you. So now can you see why we're in the situation we're in our society? It's because we've been stopping at faith, playing with the anointing, and not allowing the glory to rise upon us. This calls a shift in mentality. What I mean by a shift in mentality, this ain't about you. This ain't about you and your issues. I said it can't mean God don't care about your issues. He really doesn't. Why should he care about your issues when he's the answer? If he's just simply focused on the answer, the issues will be. Because watch this. The sufferings of this present moment can't be compared. So if you, that means if you're focusing on your suffering or you're focusing on your difficult situation, then it means you can't focus on the answer. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. In the supernatural, you can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Either you're going to chew gum or walk, one or the other. You ain't going to be able to multitask in the supernatural. You're going to have to be focused. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children. So that means the earth is going to be delivered or going to have, be positioned like we are positioned. So if we don't be positioned, the earth ain't going, our system, our culture ain't going to be positioned. Listen, I'm trying to. The government is not only on Jesus' shoulder, it's on our shoulders too. Because as the church goes, society goes. So if foolishness gets into the church, the earth has no hope. The system has no hope. So this is why we have to let the glory of God rise upon us. This is why we can't be stuck just on our issues. Matter of fact, the quickest way to get is to get some movement in your situation and say, God, I need you to get some glory out of this. You tell God, you just simply stop where you at. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to ask God for answers just to get yourself delivered. And you say, God, I want to see how you're going to get glory out of this. Yeah. And you begin, and God say, oh, you want me to get some glory out of this? You want me to get some glory out of this? Because see, watch this. When God gets glory out of your situation, other people are watching. As other people are watching, they want to know, how did he get out of that situation? And you turn around and say, it was the glory of God. So just stop. Chill out and say, God, how you will get glory out of this? Don't even worry about coming out on the other side. Because remember, you're suffering. You're not struggling. It cannot be compared to the glory that's about to rise upon you. Now, the Bible keeps saying that glory that shall rise upon you. Shall is a very powerful word. Shall means it's inevitable. It's got to happen. It's going to happen. I just got to stay put long enough to allow it to happen. And the glory of the Lord shall be seen upon you. We have to go from faith to the anointing to the glory. You may be seated. Turn with me to Luke, the first chapter. Now I want to show you the pattern in the New Testament. I'm going to show you the pattern in the New Testament. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for the apostolic. Don't you feel empowered? This is what I love about the apostolic. I feel empowered. It's nice if somebody lay hands on me, but they don't have to. I mean, it's nice. It's wonderful. But they don't have to. I've been taught I can go to God. I've been taught that I can walk in the glory. I've been taught that the glory can rise upon me. Luke, the first chapter, and the 28th verse. Now, this is, I'm going to show you the pattern. The pattern is so powerful, and the pattern is so set in stone. The pattern not set, but the pattern can't be changed. The pattern, Satan can't come alter this pattern. All he can do is try to distract you from the pattern. If you can discover the pattern, you can looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. In other words, what God began in you, he's going to finish in you. The 28th verse. And the angel came unto her, meaning Mary, and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" So here we see instructions have been given. That's faith. Instructions have been given. So Mary's starting off in faith. So now the anointing got to come in and deal with two things. The anointing has to, number one, deal with Mary.
Right.
Now watch this now. Dealing with Mary and her mindset is the easy part. Then Mary brought up a good question. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? So now the anointing got to come in and take care of this. Because according to natural circumstances, trying to have a baby without a man is a problem. Because you got to have seed. Without seed, touching the egg, ain't nothing happening. I don't care what nobody else tell y'all. A seed got to touch the egg. And all I know is men produce seed. In this case, she's saying, "I know not a man." Watch this. And verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, and the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power," and the power, that's glory, "and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee, that thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus was born because of the pattern. Jesus was born because somebody started off in faith, walked through the anointing, and then let the glory show up. See, when the glory show up, Apostle said this all the time, when the glory show up, you ain't got to do nothing else. Get out the way. When the glory shows up, you simply get out the way. What Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She just got on out the way. She ain't worried about it no more. She forgot that she didn't need a man. Jesus was born. Right, be seated. So I showed it to you. Be seated. So I showed it to you in the Old Testament, Psalms. Showed the pattern to you. I showed the pattern to you in the New Testament. I want you to turn with me to Matthew. Go to Romans. Go to Romans, the first chapter. That's it. Romans, the first chapter. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. See, there's some places And sometimes I could experience the glory. But because all I knew was faith and the anointing, I couldn't go there.
Come on.
All of us have been there because all we knew, we watch this, we equated the glory and we kept using the word Shekinah glory.
Right.
We learned about the word glory, Shekinah glory, which simply means the presence of God, right? And the rabbinic priest, the rabbinic priest would use the word Shekinah to give an extra explanation to what the glory of God was, meaning it was the presence of God. And so when we use Shekinah glory, we either think about some smoke filling the room. Oh, y'all ain't going? We think about smoke filling the room. We think about we seeing some woo. Y'all get what I'm saying? I can't find a word to describe, but you know what I'm saying. But the glory is actually on the inside of you. You know, in studying physical science, we had something called kinetic energy and potential energy. Kinetic energy is energy in motion. And potential energy, that is energy that's sitting there ready to do something. So what's happening is we have been stuck in faith and anointing with potential energy. But the glory is kinetic. It means something gonna happen. And so we have to train ourselves to start off in faith, keep it moving, allow the anointing to do what it's supposed to do. Now, what I mean by allow the anointing to do what it's supposed to do, the anointing was the final destination for all of us under the pastoral model, because simply all of us was trying to use the anointing to remove burdens and destroy yokes off our lives just so we can walk around free, so we can walk around. I don't have to deal with that situation anymore. Oh, God delivered me that situation. Okay, the question is now, why did God deliver you? Because the main question that you need to ask is, when you're going through the situation is, where am I going? Because if I wasn't going nowhere, this situation wouldn't show up in my life. Because Satan is the distractor, so he would call things to show up in your life. Listen, I don't care if you made the decision for the thing to show up. I don't care if you caused it. Satan just used your power against you. So that thing show up in your life, So now it's open. You're like, oh, say, okay, God, you're trying to take me somewhere. Where are you trying to take me? Because I know you're trying to take me somewhere. So let me start listening for your voice. So to let the anointing come in to remove every burden and destroy every yoke that will be in your way from going to where God wants you to go. Watch this. Before I read Romans 1, hold your finger in Romans 1. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Second Corinthians 3, verse 18. Let's look at verse 17. Go back to verse 17 for me. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So your life is supposed to be going from glory to glory. Another way to say it, I like to make things simple. You ought to be going from success to success. Now, in between, it may look like failure. It may look like failure, but you got to know I'm going from success to success. That don't mean in between I won't have any challenges. But I can't stop at the challenge. I got to go from success to success. Now, That's how our lives is supposed to be, correct? Going from success to success, right? Go to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the glory of God unto salvation. See, people don't realize, when you got born again, when you said, Jesus, forgive me, I know I'm a sinner, I want you to come live on the inside of me, that was your first experience of glory, because can't nothing else and nobody else clean you up like the blood of Jesus. Some of the stuff you did in your past is all nothing but the blood of Jesus. That was the glory showing. That was your first experience of the power of God. You didn't have to do nothing. All you had to do was confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised you from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt, the glory gonna show up. And call, the glory showed up and changed your address. Be seated, be seated, be seated. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God, what?
Revealed.
This is not the first time we heard the word revealed. Revealed from what?
Faith
to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For therein, verse 17, therein, that means, watch this, for therein is the righteousness of God. Righteousness of God simply means God's right way of doing things.
Right.
Otherwise, his instructions. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. All right? For therein, there, the righteousness of God is therein. What is, there's someplace I got to go search. Because the righteousness of God is therein. It's somewhere there. In other words, it's somewhere hidden. Because it got to be revealed. It's therein. So what is it there? Go to verse 16. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith. So in me meditating the word of God, spending time with God, God's right ways of doing things is being revealed. I didn't know it before, but when I spend time with him, it's revealed. I discover it. When I discover it, watch this now. When I discover it, I'm able to make some moves. I'm following instruction. That's living from faith. That's going from faith to faith. I can't go from glory to glory if I don't start off in faith to faith. See, we're trying to develop things that we can't develop. In other words, you're trying to increase your anointing. The anointing of God is connected to your instructions. When you follow instructions, the anointing has already been designed to show up. See, you don't need no bird removed and a yoke destroyed if you ain't planning on going nowhere.
Come on, say that.
If you ain't planning on doing what God asked you to do, there's no need for no bird to remove and yoke to be destroyed, because you can just stay in the same place. See, when you meditate the word of God and you spend time with God, faith shows up. What I mean by faith shows up? Trust in God. Being able to hear his voice shows up. Because when I trust the voice that I'm hearing, I can obey it. And here's the thing about God. I love God. See, God is a father. So God will start with you where you are. See, God ain't going to give you no instructions from which you don't trust him. In other words, his level of instructions is going to come from the trust level that you have in him. So God will move you accordingly. God ain't, see, this is why I have a problem with somebody who's been born again for 2 or 3 years. Now all of a sudden they call themselves an apostle. Now all of a sudden you're a prophet. Are you kidding me? You just got, you, as they say, you still wet behind the ears. You have no fruit. But God is not like that. God will work with you where you are. So my ending place is glory to glory. I'm going from, yeah, so faith, anointing, glory, right? Then for it to happen again, faith, anointing, glory. So you get into that rhythm, into that pattern. And so before you know it, you will be living from glory to glory. See, it'll become second nature to you. In other words, you become, you at first, it's going to get to a point where some of y'all are going to be flowing from glory to glory so fast that you ain't going to realize that you did faith and anointing. See, that's, why, go back to 2 Corinthians. Go back to 2 Corinthians. Watch it. Go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 3. Watch this. Watch what it says. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face beholding in the glass. I mean, there's no veil. There's nothing in between. We can clearly see. In a glass, the glory of the Lord. We see the glory. And are changed because we see it and are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So in other words, the process or the pattern is going to become so second nature to you that it's going to seem like you're going from glory to glory, but you'll be going from glory, faith anointing, glory. Come on. Did y'all catch that?
Yes,
it'll be glory, faith anointing, glory.
Yes,
in other words, you'll be so in tune with God. Jesus, see, don't tell me you can't do this. I heard you. Don't tell me you can't do this. Jesus came to the earth. I believe it's in the 4th chapter of Mark. Jesus was hungered 40 days and 40 nights. He broke his body down on purpose so he can face the enemy. And when he faced the enemy, Jesus went from faith, the anointing, to the glory, right in front of the devil. And he said he's given us that same ability. Greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. So don't tell me you can't do this. Baby, be seated.
Yes, sir.
You be seated. What you're telling me is, it's not that you can't do this. What you're telling me is, for those who said, I don't know how I can do it. What you're telling me is, you don't want to put in the work. That's what you're really telling me. That's what you're telling me. You're really telling me is you don't want to put in the work. What I mean by put in the work? I didn't say self-effort. I didn't say self-effort. I say put in the work. In any relationship, you got to put in some time. Any relationship you have, you got to put in some time. You ever want to know if somebody don't want to be around you? All you got to do is find out how much time they're spending with you. If you would keep offering to spend time with them and they don't want to spend time with you, that means they don't want to be around you. Because it takes time to spend with that person to fortify a relationship. So you're going to have to fellowship with the Lord. You're going to have to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Remember, the angel told Mary, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. How the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and you don't want to spend no time with him? Be seated. You got to spend time. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Watch this. You got to. It's not that you can't. You can go there. Every last person under the sound of my voice, whether you're in this building or whether you're watching me online, every last person can go from faith, anointing, to glory. You can get so proficient at it to where you go from glory to glory. Jesus was going from glory to glory, but what they didn't see in between, he said, I only do what the Father tell me to do. See, that happened so fast that people missed that part. But Jesus was going from glory to glory, in between was faith and anointing. Then he hit glory. Then he had to go faith, anointing, glory. Matthew, the 16th chapter. I'm closing here. Watch this. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Yes, sir.
Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Look at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ," excuse me, "the Son of the living God." Now, let me show you the importance of this. When you read the Gospels, especially if you read it, and this is the book of Matthew, you will see that Jesus never told nobody who he was. Jesus never told nobody who he was. Some people would recognize him, but he would never confirm it. And the reason why he never would confirm it is because he didn't want Satan to find out. Because if Satan would have found out, he'd have never let them people touch him. He'd have never been crucified. I think it was 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, talks about that. If the prince of the world would have known, they never would have crucified the Lord Jesus. So nobody really knew who Jesus was. He didn't confirm it with nobody. People say, you know, he's the Messiah. He never would say it. But in this particular instance, he wanted to see what his disciples was going. This is important. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this, because faith to faith and then glory to glory. See, I need you to understand that faith to faith is getting you to glory, to glory. Yeah. Remember it said in Romans 1:17 that for therein is the righteous God's right way of doing things is revealed from faith to faith. Remember now, I got to start the process. To start the process, I got to start off in faith. Without faith, I can't get the glory. Remember, your obedience to God's voice gives him permission to show up in the natural. Your faith, your obedience, faith is nothing more than you obeying, trusting God and obeying him. Your obedience opens the door for God to come in. Satan sometimes, where you went, see, Satan don't know your instructions from God. Oh, I got to prove it to you. I got 11 minutes. I got to prove it to you. Satan does not know your instruction from God. Amen. When Jesus came and he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, hungered himself, broke his body down. If you remember, Satan came asking questions. Yeah. If thou be. Right. Jesus never told him if he was. Right. So Satan doesn't know your assignment. Right. Satan only discovers your assignment when you're on your way. When you start executing. That's why he starts bringing in monkey wrenches. That's why he starts showing up with burdens. That's why he starts showing up with yokes. That's why when God tell you to do something, your child might start acting crazy. Or God tell you to do something and your spouse might start tripping. Or God tell you to do something and the people on the job start tripping with you. Don't panic. Don't panic. You're going from faith to anointing to glory. Don't panic. Say, God, okay, this is happening to me. How do you want to get glory out of this situation? Because now God will begin to give you further instructions. And when he gives you further instructions, now the Holy Ghost, who is the anointing of God, will show up and begin to remove burdens and destroy yokes. So that you can get to the glory. See, you need to know this. See, Satan don't know your assignment. He only knows your assignment when you get to moving. And he realized, oh, there he go. Oh, there she go. I got to stop him. And so he started bringing in. Do y'all realize Mark 4, when they say the soul sows the word? It wasn't talking about preaching. You're talking about the Holy Spirit gives you instructions. Some of it fall on stony ground. Some of it fall on thorns. You're going to read it for yourself. But some of it fall on good ground. Ground that has been prepared. What it mean? People, the God's instructions fall on the ears of people who can hear him and can follow them. Good ground. Some produce 30, some 40, some 64, some 100. Are y'all on?
Yes, sir.
Don't try to focus on your anointing. Focus on his instructions. Because the anointing is built in. People don't realize why apostle is so anointed. Apostle is anointed the way he is because of his assignment. Do you know how anointed you got to be to come tell somebody money coming? And they looking at you sideways and you got to stand flat footed and say, that's what the Lord told me. Can you imagine the eyes and the knives coming out and the ridicule coming out? You have to be anointed. So he is anointed according to his assignment. See, some people be focused. See, that's why I get preachers focus on his anointing instead of focus on what he's doing. That's what we're trying to do in the LTMA. Don't focus on the anointing. Focus on what he's doing. Because when you focus on what he's doing, you'll be able to learn to do the same thing. And God will give you the anointing accordingly. I get exactly. Because I follow God's instructions for my life, God anoints me where I'm at. I'm anointed to be able to teach him. So God anoints me right there. I better not come out here talking about I'm an apostle. I better not come out here talking about I'm a prophet. I better not come in. The only way I'm going to do that is when God say that you are. But until then, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. Because watch this. God anoints me where I'm at to remove every burden and destroy every yoke so I can keep doing what God has called me to do. So when God lifts me up, then the anointing will be lifted up. So in other words, so I don't have to focus on my anointing. I got to focus on his instructions. Be seated. All right, we're in Matthew 16. We're going to close here. Matthew 16. Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for what? Flesh and blood has not what? Revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, notice the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I will give you the keys to how things are done in heaven. What are the keys? Keys are simply the instructions and the anointing. The keys are the instructions and the anointing to go along with it so that you can go into the glory. Because listen, all right, here's the old adage. Here's what nothing we've been saying about the wrong about the glory. What do you say when somebody died? They're going to where? Going to glory. They're going to glory, right? They're going to glory. That's true. They're going to be permanently in the presence of God. But here it is. Jesus said, I'm going to give you keys to the kingdom of the glory. Did you catch it?
Yes.
He said, I'm going to give you the keys to how we do things in glory. Now, why would he give you keys to how things are done in glory? Must be so that you can have glory here. Ain't no sense in him giving you keys to the way things are done in heaven for nothing to happen. He's giving you the key. He's giving you the instructions. He's giving you the anointing so that the glory can show up in your life. So therefore, you ain't got to wait to go to heaven to experience glory. You can experience glory right here. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch what Jesus says. Watch what Jesus says. Watch what Jesus says. Look, watch what he says in the 18th verse. He said, and again, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, upon this rock. I love the word rock. Upon this foundation, or upon this process. Watch what he says. Upon this process, I will build my church. He said, upon this process, I'm going to build you. What process? The process of you not knowing what to do, you spending time with God and letting God reveal to you what you need to do so that you can start doing it, allow the anointing to come in to move everything out of your way, to move everything, to move everything and everybody. Now, I know I said everybody. Sometimes that body might be you. Remember now, the angel talked to Mary. The Holy Ghost had to come. The anointing of God had to come in and remove Mary out the way. Because Mary said, what kind of greeting and salutation is this? How this going to be saying I know not a man? Mary, I'm going to just need you to get out the way. The Bible says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. But we don't go to 21. 21 say, and I do not grace is your right to get to the glory. You are highly favored. It's your right to get to the glory. Don't frustrate the grace. Don't frustrate your highly favoredness. How do you frustrate your highly favoredness? When you can't hear the voice of God. When you're in a situation and you can't hear the voice of God. When you're in a situation and you ain't looking for the voice of God. When you're in a situation and you ain't trying to hear the voice of God. That's how you frustrate your right to get the glory. When you're in a situation, settle yourself down. Don't panic. Settle yourself down and say, God, how do you want to get the glory out of it? I don't care if you initiated the situation. I don't care if you started it. I don't care. God does not care. God didn't say he'll leave you, he'll never leave you, never forsake you if you don't do these things. He simply said, I'll never leave you. Nor forsake you. So whatever you've done, whatever situation that you think you've caused, I do not care about those situations. I do not care about what you may have caused. I got to deal with that a few moments because sometimes people think they can't go to the glory because of something they've done. No, the blood of Jesus. The Bible says he'll put your sins in a sea of forgetfulness. If you just simply settle yourself down and say, God, I've been trying to do it on my own and my way. I'm just stopping right now, God. God, how do you want to get glory out of this situation? I don't care how bad it is. How do you want to get glory out of this situation? Because see, watch this. Romans 8:28, all things. It didn't say, watch this. It didn't say all things will start working together. It always was working. It's just you wasn't accepting it. All things work together for good for them that love God and are called and called to his purpose. So I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care about none of that. God don't care about none of that. God just want to know, will you give me a chance to get glory out of the situation? Will you arise, let the glory arise and shine on you? Will you let me use you as an example of how I can turn somebody's life inside out? Will you allow me to take your life from where you think it at and bring it to where I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expectation. Will you allow me to lift you out of that muddy clay? You know how this old statement says, I got to get it out of the mud. No, don't you get out of the mud. Let him get you out the mud. So, apostle has set the order. We're going to start going from faith to anointing to glory. So don't be mad if you come to me and be saying, I got this situation going on. I say, hey, are you in faith? Have you let the anointing come in? Because you're headed to glory. Don't get mad at me when I tell you that. Because we've set in the house. You're going to go from faith to anointing to glory. You may be seated. Praise God. 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 Oh, come on. Lift your hands. Now. Come on. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Apostle, set the order in this house. There's not a person in here that can't go from faith to glory. Not a person, everybody in here, everybody online, you can go from faith to glory. I love the apostolic because the apostolic is empowering every individual person to be the joint that supplies. Every joint is going to supply in this house. Every joint is going to supply in this house. I said every joint is going to supply in this house. I said every joint is going to supply in this house. And the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon us. People are going to see the glory rising on us. People are going to start asking you questions about what are you doing because the glory is rising upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe it's your first time watching a podcast.